From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled God Routs Fear. The text is Numbers 23, verse 23. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. How this should cut up root and branch all silly, superstitious fears. Even if there were any truth in witchcraft and omens, they could not affect the people of the Lord. Those whom God blesses, devils cannot curse. Ungodly men, like Balaam, may cunningly plot the overthrow of the Lord's Israel, but with all their secrecy and policy, they are doomed to fail. Their powder is damp. The edge of their sword is blunted. They gather together, but as the Lord is not with them, they gather together in vain. We may sit still and let them weave their nets, for we shall not be taken in them. Though they call in the aid of Beelzebub and employ all his serpentine craft, it will avail them nothing. The spells will not work. The divination will deceive them. What a blessing this is! How it quiets the heart! God's Jacobs wrestle with God, but none shall wrestle with them and prevail. God's Israels have power with God and prevail, but none shall have power to prevail against them. We need not fear the fiend himself, nor any of those secret enemies whose words are full of deceit and whose plans are deep and unfathomable. They cannot hurt those who trust in the living God. We defy the devil and all his legions.
In times of deep despair I lift my eyes unto the hills where comes my help and aid, unto the God who cares for his own, unto the God whose glories never
my eyes to view his precious face, with adoration bow before his throne, and thank and praise him, and thank and praise.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his fourth message in this intensive study of the Epistle to the Romans. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the Bible is one book, that the gospel Paul preached is contained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. First, he emphasized the character of the Old Testament, which Paul termed holy writings. As Paul was to write to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel of Christ through the various covenants, the prophecies, the types, and the historical events. From this, we can see that Old Testament saints were saved by believing the same gospel as those in the New Testament. Now here's Dr. Cairns to conclude part one of One Bible, One Gospel.
The purpose of God does not make sense apart from His purpose for the church. It's not a parenthesis inside His purpose. It is His purpose. But if you look at things in a parenthesis, while the sentence makes sense without it, what is inside those parentheses have a connection with what goes before and with what comes after, grammatically. But in an intercalation, there is a complete break, and everything in the intercalation, as Ryrie calls it, is so isolated from what goes before and what comes after as to have no connection with it at all. And this is supposed to teach it. Now, most people, when they quote Ephesians 5, don't quote it at all. They partially quote it, which in other 3:5, should I say, in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. But there's not a period there. Notice, it was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed. And the as, in Greek as in English, is an adverb of manner. It was revealed in the Old Testament, that's the meaning, but not in the same manner, not to the same degree of fullness, not in the same detail as it was given to the apostles. Obviously, the whole of biblical revelation is growing. We have more clearly Christ set before us in the New Testament than in the Old. He is not set before us in the Old Testament as He is set before us in the New Testament. The gathering in of the Gentiles is set before us in the Old Testament, but not as it is done in the New Testament. We don't learn as fully in the Old Testament, though there are suggestions, mind you, but we don't learn as fully in the Old Testament that when Gentiles are brought in, they don't come in by circumcision. They don't come in by becoming Jews. We don't learn about the body. We don't learn about the manner in which God will work. This is left to the New Testament. But again, far from showing that this was something so vastly different, this is the fulfillment. My, what a truth that is. The Word of God, the Word of God in the Old and New Testament now, it's complete. Do you see that? It's complete. The Old Testament promises, the New Testament fulfills. What is there after the fulfillment? It's the end of Scripture. This is the completion of Scripture. There's nothing after the completion. If the New Testament is the fulfillment of everything the Old Testament set forth, then the whole Romish doctrine of continual revelation, the whole charismatic doctrine of extra-biblical revelation is completely out of court. This is the final revelation. You have nothing after completion. That's it. This is the complete Word of God. Furthermore, it's the sufficient Word of God in all matters of faith and practice. And it flies in the face of the Scriptures of both Testaments to make any doctrine that can't be established in Scripture an article of necessary faith. What is not scriptural has no place as an article of necessary faith. Furthermore, the Word of God is harmonious. The Old Testament and the New Testament are one book. Now, I could take a long time to deal with that. But let me tell you something. And let us learn this. I speak to you as somebody who loves systematic theology. I know that there are people who like to say that they don't believe in systematic theology, they believe in biblical theology. Actually, the people who say that usually have reinvented the term biblical theology, and they have given a definition to it and a meaning to it that the term never had. And they actually, it's a cover-up for they are the most systematic, the most doctrinaire, the most irrationally dogmatic. But I'll not get into those things. I just want to be uncontentious. So I'll not get into those things. But I love systematic theology, but I must say, I also have to take this to heart. Never impose anything in God's Word. If your system doesn't come from God's Word, then change your system, but don't change God's Word. Not only so, but in defending your positions, never interpret the New Testament to contradict or overthrow the old. You see, this Bible is not an evolution from darkness to light, from error to truth. This is not the record of man struggling out of the primeval mess of philosophic ignorance, getting closer and closer to the light by his own discoveries. That's not the Bible. The Bible is divine revelation from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is a development of promise into fulfillment with increasing clarity. And I love this in the book of God, this harmonious book. God is the same. Who is my God tonight? He's the God of Abraham. He's the fear of Isaac. He is the sovereign redeemer of Jacob. God is the same. And God's salvation is the same. We'll see if and when, if we live long enough to get to chapter 4. If your heads aren't whirling, going round in circles, doing figures, we'll see God saved Abraham the very way he saved Saul of Tarsus. God saved David the very way he saved you. God never had another way, and he never will have another way. And I don't want to get into prophecy tonight, but the next time you hear somebody tell you that God is going to save saints during the tribulation in another way, understand it is a perversion of God's truth. During the tribulation, God is going to save millions. But he's going to save them by the same gospel, pointing them to the same Christ, by the same faith, and with the same result, because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But can I say to you, never interpret the Old Testament without seeing its witness to Christ. Don't get bogged down in the Old Testament, where all you're reading is history or whatever. Don't get bogged down where you can't see Christ. I've told you before, years ago, my wife said to me, she was being very honest, she said, "I'm not looking forward to my Bible reading now. I'm coming again to Leviticus." And I find that a very, very difficult book. And I said, "Joan, take Andrew Bonner on Leviticus and read Leviticus with Bonner's commentary." And she did. And she will tell you, as she told me, it was the greatest blessing. In every verse and every line, there is Christ in all his covenant fullness. You will not see Christ as clearly in every place. But if you're going to make a mistake, Let it be the mistake of Martin Luther, who was accused of seeing Christ where Christ was never intended to be seen. I don't mind making that mistake, to be quite honest. I don't mind making that mistake. My fear is the mistake of so many. I read commentators in the book of Job, and they come to Job's great statement in chapter 19. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And with all their learning and their history and their Hebrew and their all the rest of it, they have it all. They have so much learning, they're absolute lunatics. And they can tell me there's no reference to Christ there. What? What? You may as well tell me there's no reference to my wife and my marriage certificate. That's learned lunacy. That's all it is. Learned lunacy. To him, Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness. So if I'm going to understand the prophets, I must see Christ in the prophets. God, give me eyes for him. The scripture is harmonious. And thank God it is trustworthy. Take this home with you tonight. The Old Testament is the promise. The New Testament is the fulfillment. Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, kept on repeating this sentiment. Thou hast spoken with thy mouth, and thou hast fulfilled with thy hand. Thou hast said it, and thou hast done it. And that's the story of the gospel. Was Abraham ashamed when he put his trust in Christ all those centuries before the Savior showed up upon the scene? Was Abraham ever put to shame? No, where is he? He is in glory tonight. That's where he is. Was Moses ashamed when he gave up Egypt and all its pleasures through faith in Christ? No, he was not put to shame. When God took David from the sheepcote and put him on the throne and set Christ before him, and David's heart was moved by faith in Jesus, was he ever put to shame? No, God fulfilled with his hand what he promised with his mouth. My friend, I want to tell you, we may commit everything to the gospel. You may launch out on the gospel. You may trust your life to Christ. You may trust your soul to Christ. You may place the full weight of your dependence upon Christ. You will never perish trusting in Jesus. Never. This is a trustworthy book. Take this promise as it is given. Do not let the devil shake you free from it. You may take God's word and stake everything on it. But remember this. There's a part of both the Old and the New Testament concerning Christ that still awaits his fulfillment. He's coming again. And evil men, according to 2 Peter 3, verse 4, mock. And they say, where is the, do you notice the word? Where is the promise of his coming? Where is it? It's where it always was. It's in God's word. And where's God's word? It's where it always was. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. So where's the promise of his coming? Ah, listen. God will fulfill it. Never, never, never lose sight of that. God will fulfill it. He is not slack concerning his promise. Do you realize something? If God had sent Christ back before now, some of you would be in hell. Why has God lingered? He is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you may believe this gospel with confidence, the gospel of the entire Bible. You may take your stand with the generation of saints that have proved it, standing upon that only solid ground, God's revelation of Christ in the Scriptures, the revelation of a justifying righteousness to every believer, will stand the test of time, of death, and of eternity. One Bible, one gospel, one Christ, one way of salvation. Make sure you're found in that way, for outside of it is certain death.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.